Here we go. So the aim of this teaching stream is not just to leave you with theory surrounding evangelism. I want it to be practical and I want it to be helpful. I hope in this time that we have together to encourage us to step out, to step up, and to go. When we know something, we want to go with something. So evangelism, just for this first introduction period, we're not going to break up into groups, but I can see like a little group at the back there. I can see if we can make five there. This group here. So if we can make three groups, just quickly amongst yourselves, you can just turn your heads, no need to move, just turn and face each other and discuss what picture is conjured up in your mind when you think of evangelism. So just for a few minutes, 2 or 3 minutes.
We were separated from the past in the garden because of Adam, but the second of these worlds,
I believe that's our job as disciples, pass on that message. That's why I said we don't have to
One minute more.
Sometimes you don't know what you're doing.
Okay, let's come back together. Okay. You always hope that there's going to be some really good feedback. I could hear kind of different conversations and the different tack that you were taking on evangelism. And actually, there was quite a bit of theory there for some people. It's theory, you know, the word of God tells me this, and some people were coming out with scriptures. Others were kind of just giving natural comments. I want to be supernaturally natural when I'm shopping.
That'd be good.
When I'm shopping. You can be supernaturally natural when you're shopping. Something from over here. What?
Basically, I think we had two strands of thinking. We didn't have enough time for Bonnie to say his back.
Sorry, Bonnie.
It's about sharing what we know, sharing what we've experienced. That's one kind of picture. And then the other one is living it out and let others testify of that. But there's also the thought that traction and...
Attraction, not promotion.
Some people just settle with it, and a lot of people want to promote it.
Yes.
And I like the promotion bit.
Well, we're going to go in that direction for sure. But I hope that... just one thing quickly from here. What was the...
I think we spoke about God being... love. Jesus Christ had to abandon his heavenly place to reach mankind. You know, we deserve to be slaughtered, to perish, but because of love in the throne room of God, so he had to abandon his heavenly place and reach us. So that love has been passed on to us as mandatory to tell others who are on their way, you know, to hell. To snatch them to Christ.
Yes.
So without love, we wouldn't be, you know, we'd be careless. I mean, if we don't mind, let them die. But if you have, because of the love, so it is a mandatory for us to also to reach people who are perishing.
Yes, yes. Really good comments. And I already know kind of where we're going, so it all kind of fits. I hope that as we move on, you'll see how it fits. It's not down here, but I wrote a poem years ago. I write poems, but I use them particularly for ministry. I don't do poems that are flowery. You know, I can, I think. You know, I can present poems for certain occasions. But I love it when the Holy Spirit causes me to... There was a poem I wrote years ago and I was just walking around, and it could be in Corby even. You know, we're looking for love, but in the wrong places. You can see when it's missing because it shows on our faces. The real meaning of love is not many, but one. But it's the Father, the Spirit, and Jesus, God's Son. That's where love is. And it was just a line in a poem that I wrote. I want to say this. Do I have to be a Billy Graham?
No.
Do we have to be a Louis Palau? No. Today, if we move to today, you know, are we all a J. John? No. We're not. In our own movement in Ealing, we had Mark Greenwood. We can't all be Mark Greenwoods. As evangelists, they tend to go out and they cast a net over a crowd and they catch many fish. But for me, it's still as potent and it's still as powerful if I'm just sitting in Costa's and someone catches my eye and I start to engage with them. Might not be the gospel straight away, but or you, it's something you might see in them. We mentioned that, loving people and caring for people. So some evangelists are gifted to bring many to Jesus. The rest of us are to do the work of an evangelist. And this is exactly, if you remember, when from that time when Paul was now looking at that next leader to move and to grow the church, and he looked at a timid Timothy, he said this, he said, "But Timothy, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." And you can imagine Timothy thinking, oh, you know, Paul's already said, "I'm poured out. I'm poured." He's poured out all that Christ has given him and caused him to do. And now he wants to encourage the next person. Someone said this about evangelists. They're a certain breed. They could speak about bubblegum and win people to Christ. And I remember someone telling me, I wasn't around, I don't even think I was that faithful at the time. I think someone sowed a seed into me around the age of 15. But my elder brother went to steward with Billy Graham at Wembley. And I think it was, or QPR, or one of the football grounds. And it poured down, much worse than we've had in the last few days. Torrential rain. And he got up and he just unpacked John 3:16. Wow. He unpacked it and explained what Christ had come to do to save people by going on a cross, shedding his blood and dying for mankind. And people were rushing past each other, and he says that can only be the power of God and the word of God that leads to salvation. And people were running up, they still had their brollies up and everything, but they were running up, and thousands were saved. Let's move on, because I know we have a specific time as well, but I don't want to miss anything either. You know what, when I started to come along here to Corby and sit in the church there and worship with the family of God, it was only after a few, I think a couple of weeks, or two or three weeks, that I saw what was behind the words on the screen. What is it? When you see the words come up on the screen, what do you see? What's the picture behind it? Corby. And I was sitting there and I poked my wife and I said, "Here, look, I've never noticed that before." Strange, isn't it? It's there in front of you. But I started to think about, while I'm worshipping, while I'm singing with the family of God, there's a town there that needs to be reached.
Yes.
There's people that are broken. And I put this, you cannot fail to see the needs. You cannot fail to see the pain on faces. You cannot fail to see the brokenness, the lost. You cannot fail to recognise that some look and feel unloved when you walk through the town centre of Corby. That is without what is happening in the back streets and in the estates. And we went to the Kingswood estate, didn't we? Darren Edwards came and we took a small team out as part of that. Let's move on. Sowing and reaping. That's really what's on my heart in all this. Sowing and reaping is a clear biblical principle. Jesus wanted to make this clear to his disciples, and they were to tell the good news of Christ to others. He wanted them to understand, live it daily, guys. Know it, grow in it, and live in it daily. The parable of the sower in Mark 4, 1 through to 29, I won't read the whole of it, but it explains the sowing process and the growing process. And our job is to simply sow the word as we go out into our community. The good, faithful farmer will sow in the hope that a good crop will surface and be harvested. You know, in the passage there, you've got the seed that falls on the rocky ground. You've got the seed that falls on the path, and straight away it's snatched by the bird, you know, birds of the air. You know, you see all those examples from it going straight away, and it doesn't nurture and mature in us, to those who hear it and it's powerful and they move in it and grow. My most experience is actually, it's a journey. It's a journey of growth. And we talked, someone mentioned this morning that sometimes we feel like we're walking through treacle sometimes. It's tough. We have all those things to handle in life. But we need to nurture. And I think the word says that we need to become Christ-like, to become like the stature of Christ. Sowing is my part. Growing is God's part. We can all be seed sowers. We can all sow in faith. We can believe God for a great outcome. We can rejoice as those who were lost are now brought into the kingdom of God. And that should be our hunger. Someone said in the worship team this morning, or Pastor Damien said, are you hungry? Might have been in prayer just before the meeting. Are we coming hungry today? Are we thirsty for more of God? Because when we hunger and thirst after God, the desire to reach others and to bring them in to the kingdom, that's what evangelism is about. If you come to this room, something like that is your burden. It's your burden. You feel it in your heart. Many seeds to scatter. I'm just going to say, sowing and reaping. I'm just going to give some little headings as we go along. Many seeds to scatter. Can I quickly do this? I'm going to gift you with something. Very, very small. Its potential is amazing. Some of you might be guessing already what it is. Inspect the seed a lot. I didn't see if it smelt of anything. So if you have, if it is a, it might be peppercorn or something like that. It might be a smell attached to it. I'd like you to hold it while we carry on. See, sowing needs to become our living. Sowing needs to become our living. And I and we must not doubt the potential of the seed that we scatter. We sometimes say, what's my calling? Have you ever said that to yourself?
Yeah.
You ever been in the prayer room, in the silent place? Lord, can you stamp it down? What's my calling? Can you settle that within me so I know what my calling is? But can I say this about this particular thing? According to the gospel, we're called to sow. It's all our callings. It's all our callings. To sow, to scatter, to release the word of God that brings about salvation. I'll tell you some quick testimonies. I'm a bit of a testimony person, so we have to be careful. I know this is being recorded, and I don't want to go off down all these other avenues and then find ourselves short of the main theme, the main thing. There's a lady in Birmingham when I was there. Her name was Brenda. Brenda was a seed carrier. I was the assistant pastor at Birmingham, and she used to come up to me and say, you won't see me every week, Pastor. I'm scattering seeds. And she sometimes would just get on a bus. And I'd go, what did you do last week, Brenda? What seed scattering? Where did it take you? She said, just got on a bus, Pastor, straight into the town centre of Birmingham. She said, I know where the homeless stay. I know where they live. Sometimes I see their boots under road hoardings. Sometimes I know their names. I even know what they like to eat. And that was Brenda. Her ministry was getting up close to the herb and scattering seeds. She even knew one man by the colour of his boots and the size of his boots, because he slept under a hoarding and the boots were sticking out the other side. And she knew where he'd be. She'd go and get him a cup of soup or one of those pot noodle things, or she'd do anything. She even knew a lot of the shop owners, because they'd give her the resources to take to people. I'll give you another picture. When I was at Malvern, I went to a conference at Malvern, it was in a church, not an Elim church, but it was in Assemblies of God church in Malvern, and we were sitting there, and God gave me this picture during the meeting, and it was a picture of Jesus. And if you know the Malverns, they're like a series of hills that keep going in and out, and people call it the Malverns. I pronounce it wrong sometimes, but they go, there's a profile. You can follow the mountain around and come back. And we were in this meeting and I saw Jesus walking around the contour of the Malverns. And he was just walking like this. And he had a seed tray around his waist. And he was just going. and he had the joy on his face, and he was just scattering this seed around the hills. And then following that, I didn't know, but I was at that, I got up, I spoke it, I said, I see Jesus walking around, just scattering seeds around the hills. This is a place where you can get fresh water that comes out of the hills, more than spring water. I said, it's a place of freshness. It's known as a place of vitality. But Jesus is saying, I'm waking you up. I'm going to scatter some seed around the region. And one particular minister in the town, the longest serving minister, went to this church within a few weeks of that word. And he'd heard that this had been said. And he went into the church and he cried in the pastor's office. And he said, I have the keys to open my church every day of the week. But I open it once. I do a short service, about half an hour, a bit of a tidbit to throw to the people, but I don't give them a strong word. I don't give them a word that will wake them up. I don't give a, you know. And this picture of Jesus scattering seed touched him. And he said, can I meet? I don't meet with ministers. Can I start to meet with you all? Because I need to wake up and see the lost. And it's a really powerful thing. So I put that down as a testimony here. The church in the UK needs to address again its chief calling, to be a sower of seeds. Mm. Go with the gospel and be ready in season and out of season with a seed. You may be the only person who sows into a particular person's life. Don't take it for granted that when you're in Corby, everyone's been to a church and everyone's bumped into a Christian and everyone's been in a house group and everyone... You might be in McDonald's just eating your favourite Happy Meal, whatever you have in there, you know, and then there's someone there who has never, ever audibly heard what Jesus has done. Yeah. We must not grow faint. We must not let ourselves become demoralised. Another heading, what you sow is what you get. What you sow is what you get. Let me read this. There's a passage in Luke. It's Luke 6, and I'll read it from, I'll read 37 through to 38. And Jesus is talking about not judging others, you know, that type of thing. Is, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. A very fitting scripture. See, the world generally gives so it can get something back. As Christians, it's good for us to live to give. Luke 6, yeah, Luke 6, 37 and 38, yeah. The Apostle Paul says this, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked, a man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we reap a harvest if we do not give up. We mustn't give up and grow weary in it. Therefore, as we have opportunity, as I have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That's Galatians 6, 7 through to 10. And the whole of Galatians 6 will just make you jump anyway. It's powerful. The words just bound out the pages. If we are to speak into lives, we must guard our own lives in Christ. The word of God is there to shape and sharpen our hearts. I like that. When some people say to me, they say, what's your testimony, Colin? I say, God's just chamfering things off all the time. I'm the shape I am today. I'm not fully shaped, but I'm moving in to be more mature in Christ because I want to surround myself with people who are hungry and thirsty. When you're around people who are hungry and thirsty, it sharpens you. and you get equipped, and all the bits, all the little bits of old Colin that ain't no good, they get chamfered off, and I get shaped more into Christ than who I used to be. I was preparing this, and this prayer came to mind, and I want to read it to you. It's kind of like a poem, because I am poetic, but this is what I felt I wanted to share. Oh God, embolden us, we pray, as we hold these seeds today. Keep us patient and faithful too, as we speak out this gospel truth about you. May opportunity be on our paths as you guide us straight with rod and staff. It's just the Holy Spirit just led me to declare that in a prayer over us today. Remember, the seed is God's word. It is spoken out. It can be received. It can be deposited into a heart, even in Corby, even in Market Harbour, everywhere in between. Wherever we walk, we take Christ. It can also rest for a while till someone comes and waters it. This is the thing with sowing and reaping. You know, sometimes we don't have to go out and think that we have to wrap the whole thing up in a day. Sometimes it could be a conversation in McDonald's, and that lady or that man or that youngster, come to think of it, says, I must go now. But you've engaged and you've had an encounter with someone and you've left that seed deposit. I'd like you to catch three words today, almost like you walk with them, if I can ask, have the audacity to ask you that. But knowing, going, and growing. Knowing about him, going with him, growing in him. See, the church was never meant to roost. It was never meant to roost. I know what roost means. My part, I do two things. I love ministry, and I love being serving in that and being available for that, but I'm also qualified as a pest controller. I know what pigeons do. They roost. They're messy. They like to take up territory. They roost and they stay there, and they love to be in that place. See, we were meant to know, grow, and go. Go and tell others the good news of Jesus Christ and him crucified. If people do not hear, they do not know.
Yeah.
If they don't hear, they don't know. Another scripture, I know you're taking them down, so for time's sake, read Romans 10, 14, 15, and 17. Rest assured, you'll end up reading probably a lot of that passage, because it all feeds us, every bit of it. Hope Corby has a mission statement, I've found, that speaks of this very movement of passionate disciple to being a church that loves at home and abroad, and living out the truth of Christ through mission. So it's a three thing. It's like a triangle, I guess, isn't it? You know, where it's a movement. Movements are meant to move. Firstly, we are servants. Secondly, we must bring the gospel in clear ways that will help people to choose life and choose Christ. And the Word of God says that, doesn't it? Make up your mind. Choose life. Choose death. You know, there's only the two. I was talking to someone recently and they said, Colin, what's life all about? I said, it's a sandwich. It's a sandwich. Detracting a little bit here, but it is. You have a bottom slice and a top slice. One is when you're birthed, one is when you die. When if you meet Jesus Christ and in your sandwich, you don't die, you have eternal life. And I use that as an analogy. My son used it in his RE lesson, because his teacher was saying all roads lead to God.
Is that right?
And my son said, no, miss. It's a sandwich, my dad said. It's a sandwich. And my sandwich can be colourful, and I can put lots of dressing in it. I can have ham, cheese. I can have all these things in it. But in that middle bit, Christ wants me to know about him. And guess what? I'm saved. Yeah. I'm saved, miss. He's like a little evangelist, I guess. Mm. Budding at, you know, nipping at the bit in an RE lesson. Respectful as well, though, because an RE teacher will come across with all sorts of things to pertain to different roots. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, we are God's fellow workers. We're God's fellow workers. No one in this room is higher than any other one. We're all level. But we know Christ, and we go out with what we know. Our role in evangelism is to sow a seed of faith, water it by prayer, and leave it to God. Mm-hmm. The pressure's off. And it's His. He does the rest. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be experts. I think in one of your groups I heard somebody say, you don't have to be an expert. I don't have to know everything. But you know what? Let me project the love of Christ. Let me radiate who He is in my environment, you know. And I only know what I know. I'll mention something on that in a minute. So the pressure's off. When we are sowing, we are not working alone. The Holy Spirit convicts and convinces. That's what He does. And He still does that with us all the time. The Holy Spirit is working to shape us and to grow us. Sometimes I go out and I don't know the place where I'm going. I just say to my wife, I'm going to Costa's. Or I'll be in the town for a few hours. And I've seen some amazing things happen in Market Harbour just through talking to people or engaging. Sometimes they'll come up to me. I had a lady come up to me outside Sainsbury. She says, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And it was like someone had told her I've arrived or something. I haven't announced that I've arrived, I've just moved to the district. But what are you doing here? And I said, really good question. I said, I love God and I've moved into this community and I want people to know Him. I said, so why I've moved here and while my family's here, I want to tell people about Him. Her face just lit up. She was connected with a church, like a group in her house. It wasn't in a building. But there's all these little engagements you can have when you meet people. So I have no agenda. I just place myself amongst people and I see how the Holy Spirit leads me. Can I be active? Can I be an agent of change in my region? Can I be a vessel that God uses in bringing a man or a woman to faith in Jesus Christ? And I'm asking that today, I guess. I don't know everybody by name here. I know some of you. But ask yourself that question. Lord, when you're praying, when you're after this, when you're thinking and going through some things, can I be used as a vessel for you, Lord, in my environment? And I said to someone the other day, sometimes we ring people up at Christmas, don't we? Go, how are you? It's Christmas, Auntie Mary. Is your tree up yet? Have you sorted all your presents out? And we go through this great big story of what, you know, but we don't mention Christ. Mm. We don't mention Christ.
Yeah.
There's bundles of opportunity to bring the word of God to people in so many varieties of ways. I'm not saying I'm an expert. You haven't come in here today because you're with an evangelism expert. You're just with Colin, just like you, who loves God. And sometimes I don't know how to do it. Don't know what I'm going to say. Don't know what approach I'm going to take. But somehow I ask Him, can you get me to the point, Lord? Can you get me to the cross? Can we arrive at the cross with this person? That's a really important note if you're taking notes. Lord, lead me to the cross. It might not be in the first engagement, but it could be the second, the third. And I'll ask you this as well. Look out for the uncommon opportunity. The uncommon opportunity. Sometimes something happens and it is completely the direction of the Holy Spirit, and you'll know it. You'll know it. I call it I don't know if it's intentional bumping into or unintentional, but I like that term, bumping into. I hope that God causes me to bump into people as I'm doing my thing so that I can tell them about Christ. I hate to say I'll keep them aware of time. We do have to watch time, but can I just give you another testimony? I want to tell you it because it's powerful. Don't underestimate what the Holy Spirit can drop in to you. You could be studying, you could be working. Some of us have jobs here, we're husbands, we could be heading up a company even, I don't know. But we have busy, busy lives. I was studying and I was looking at the story and the encounter of blind Bartimaeus and Jesus. And you know the story, blind Bartimaeus has been in this place for quite a while and he hears Jesus is passing.
Yeah?
So he hears that he's coming, he hasn't arrived yet. But blind Bartimaeus doesn't want to miss the opportunity to see Jesus, to be with Jesus. What does Jesus say to him? He says, what do you want, blind Bartimaeus? Doesn't he? I want to see. Sounds like the obvious thing. But there's that encounter of being in that place where you want to meet Christ, you meet Christ, what happens? Bang! Your whole life changes. Well, I looked at blind Bartimaeus, and when I put his name down in my notes, there was a man who came to our church 3 weeks before I was giving this sermon. I'll tell you his name. His name was Derek. And Derek was really honest with me, and he said, Pastor, I'm coming along to this church. I come all the way from Southampton to be in your church in Surrey. He said, I don't know why I'm doing this. I'm a bad guy. He said, sometimes I come here and I hear something. He said, and then I go away. He said, and in the night hours, I'm not up to any good. And he earned his living by taking. That's a thieving. If you want, let's be blunt. And he was telling me this as the pastor of the church. When that was 3 weeks before, gradually he'd been hearing a word and something had been happening. I saw him sometimes in his chair. He couldn't sit still. So he was sitting in his chair like this and he was kind of like, oh, do I go up? Don't I go up? You know, what do I do? I'm hearing this word and it's changing my thinking, my mind and my understanding. What happened was, next to blind Bartimaeus, I scrubbed out blind Bartimaeus' name and I put, Derek, this is the day of your salvation. In those 2 weeks leading up to the sermon. On the day of the sermon, I gave the sermon, and as I was talking about blind Bartimaeus, I prayed, of course, that this would be Derek's day of salvation. I couldn't even get to the end of the sermon. When I said that, this is blind Bartimaeus' day, Derek went, whoa, his chair went back. He come walking into the middle aisle, and he walked up the front as bold as that. And I said to him what Jesus said to blind Bartimaeus. What do you want, Bartimaeus? And Derek looked at me and he just said, Pastor, I want to be saved. And we led him to Christ. There endeth the sermon. I was weeping and leading this guy to Christ and I didn't finish the sermon. The fields are white unto harvest. John 4. Damien's probably preached on it untold times. Adam has. Someone has done some teaching on John 4. I'm not going to go right into it. But again, it's an engagement and it's an encounter. A lady meets Jesus. A Jew and a Samaritan. Clash. Shouldn't need me talking to you, mate. Shouldn't need me talking to you.
Yeah.
But I'm after water. And what have I found? The water of life that springs up inside. And look, they had a discussion and Jesus breaks the mold in speaking to a Samaritan. It's a life-changing encounter. Jesus meets her thirst. He is the well of her supply. He's the well of our supply, guys. The penny drops. All of a sudden, she's not just talking to anyone. She's talking to Christ. She even leaves a water jar, doesn't she? Runs down the hill and tells the good news. And then people come. It says they came out of the town and made their way toward him. I'd like to suggest that's a picture of evangelism. It's a picture of evangelism.
Yeah.
Something, a seed that started there and she's gone there. Come and meet a man who tells me everything about my life. And they're drawn and they come. Here we see sowing and reaping in action, and Jesus says of this, and this is, listen, while I was looking at this, I got more food. I've got more food. You will always get more food when you go to the Word of God. You have, I'm going to have a look at this, and you read it, and you get a bit more food. And Jesus says, he said, my food, is, this is what he says to the disciples when they were concerned about his hunger. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. Open your eyes and look at Market Harborough. Open your eyes and look at Corby. Open your eyes and look at Rothwell. Open your eyes and look at Cottingham. The harvest, the field is white unto harvest. Praise God. So sowing and reaping is active. We see it. We see it there. Praise God. They are ripe for harvest, these fields. One day we may be the sower. Another day we may be the reaper. But we all work toward a good harvest for the kingdom of God in Corby. We're all working towards that harvest. Whatever way we take. Richard's going to talk to you next week. And he'll give some strains of evangelism. You know, he's going to deal with that area. Is that friendship evangelism? Is that personal evangelism? Is that us going out in the seasons? Not just Easter, Christmas, summer, food-related things. Other streams of evangelism. So evangelism isn't a one-off hit theme. It's something that the church carries in its DNA. Praise God. They stopped, they spoke, Jesus did, stop, speak. He spoke to the lady and he sowed something. The lady listened, heard and realised. When you go out, if this is stirring your heart to go out, I pray that that happens. That people will listen, they will hear and they will realise. This isn't some little something from a storybook I had as a kid. This isn't just where my mum sent me in at Sunday school. I heard about this guy, Jesus. But this is something now that's real and potent. And it's just touched my heart. I realise that life is more than my birth and my death and everything that stands between. I need Jesus Christ in my life. So engage and encounter are two words that you'll always hear me talking about. I engage with someone today. Sonia, do you want a coffee, Carl? Yeah. Have a guess what? I engaged with Debbie today. I engaged with somebody else and we had an encounter. Engage where people are at in their lives. So a couple of little hints and tips, if you like. Engage where people are at in their life, where they are on the scale of salvation. Richard will talk a bit about that next week. Because one day you'll meet an atheist and it'll sometimes feel like it's pretty tough. Journey in a bit, but journey. And sometimes you'll meet someone, listen, even someone that's done loads of church, but still is hurt, still gets stuck. Yeah, so either end of the scale, but listen and be receptive to where they are and in what place they're in. Be loving and understanding. Remember that you have the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the love of the fellowship that you're attached to and running with, and your church family, and the power of prayer. And that's where the church, it all becomes inclusive. So you're not going out as just a lone, you know, what do you call it, a lone ranger? Yeah. But you've got the church backing you. Esther might say to Bonnie, you might say to Bonnie, guess what, you know, not because Colin said it that day, but I felt God stirring my heart on this. You know, and you tell Bonnie, and Bonnie said, you know what, I'm not out with you, Esther, but I'm backing you. I'm backing you in my prayer. That could happen in corporate. You've lost that loving feeling. Who's heard that song? You've lost that loving feeling. Whoa, that loving feeling. And there's a bit in it that says about Forget that. But you know where I'm going from. I can't remember all the words, but it's about a connection. We've lost that connection. You know, we're married, but we seem really apart. We're not connected. And I just want to mention some hindrances to the call, you know, because that has to be included in this particular session, I think. Is there anything that will hinder me from growing and sowing seeds? Yourself. Listen, that's to me.
You say yourself.
And I could not even note that without going, Carl, you're about to talk to people about evangelism. Please don't go in areas where you haven't gone. You know, if you're going to encourage people, be encouraged. I mean, we all need to encourage ourselves. Sometimes the intensity of work, home life, being a good, consistent parent is hard enough for us all. I don't ever tell people parenting is easy. It's not. I want to be a good dad, but I want to be a good person in my region. How can we get the balance right? God loves us and he sees all that we are and all that we're doing. There's nothing. I used to say to people sometimes, don't sweep anything in the corner. Because someone told me that. My pastor told me that. Colin, if you're going to do ministry, don't sweep your stuff in the corner. Eventually, when you keep sweeping stuff under the carpet, guess what? You trip up it. The lump gets so big that it becomes obvious. So how can we get the balance right? Stay close to God. That's worth noting. Just four words. Stay close to God. There was a song we sang this morning that spoke, I want to be in your shadow. When I was teaching just some youth years ago, I said, how can we really stay close to God? I said, you know when you see your dad walking along and you see his shadow, stay in the shadow. Because there'll never be a point where he turns around and goes, hello, where are you? And it's a nice image to have with Father God. Yeah. I'm in your shadow, Lord. I'm so close. When you call me, I'll come. And I'll hear you. And I'll be obedient. When you go and sow, you can also be open up to a sense of shame. People will be opposed to you being there. You'll have that. That's where prayer is so important. And backing. People will be opposed to you announcing this word, if it's that type of evangelism. You'll always find disturbances attached to that. I did some work in Africa, only some small things, but there were some guys, and some of you would know this if you come from Africa was your birthplace or your origin was there, is that you do get people that pray against the very thing you're doing. Regions, towns. You know, churches don't just get planted. There are people who want to thwart it, believe it or not. So sometimes it's great to just for us to be keep praying over Corby as well and prepare the ground. So people will be opposed to your words too, but remember you are the representative of Christ in that place. In fact, you're the fragrance of Christ in that room, and the Lord is on your side. We will have some insecurities and fears. You remember Jeremiah did? I'm too young. Why are you picking me? And he had to stand in front of some really powerful people of the time. Timid Timothy. He had to shape up, didn't he? And sharpen up and be instructed by Paul. But what an instructor. What an instructor. Apathy is another one. It can lull you to sleep. Apathy. And sometimes, there's a scripture that pertains to it here. Fan into flame the gift of God. For God did not give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Or self-discipline, in fact. Do not be ashamed to testify about the Lord, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 8 through to 8. Listen, I don't mean this to be rude. Sometimes I have to check my terminology because it can come across a bit blunt. I'm from the East End. And sometimes I just say it as it is. I am who I am. But sometimes we need to get a smack in the face. We need to get a smack in the face to wake us up What don't we understand about go? What don't we understand about go?
Yeah.
To wake up that urgency to see outside of the church, outside of sometimes this kind of cozy place, if you like, to see right outside the window, people are dying. And they're lost. And they have no hope. But listen, you're part of a church family called Hope. It's in your name. It's in your declaration. I'm going to be hope in Corby. I'm going to be hope in my town. And this is it. The church is it. And the church is me and you. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And I'm going to finish. I don't even know whether I'm over, and but I hope that this has caused, it's planted a seed in your hearts. Okay. The only way to reach others is a bit like, I think Nike state it, don't they? Just do it.
Yeah.
Is that their slogan for Nike? Just do it, be it, or whatever. But we need to do it, don't we? And there's enough in here, more than enough in here, to equip us in the Word of God. It's the Word of God that's powerful unto salvation. So really, I'm closing there. I hope it's been really helpful. I hope it's been encouraging. And you, we're a part two thing. So I'm part one, Richard's part two. So if you can't, if you're not here next week and you can't get that second part, Richard will be talking about, so how do I do it? And he's got some experiences of stuff he's tasted that will encourage you. And I hope it, I said to Damien the other day, I hope it doesn't end there. No one wants it to end there, really. I hope this stirs something in our hearts where we can start to talk. The leaders, it will get back to the leaders, and the leaders can then assess what we've been teaching, and they'll guide people as to how we run with it in the future. Bless you all. Bless you all. Bonnie, would you...
Yeah. Can I just say something before?
Of course you can.
Yeah, you know, the other time when we had leadership meeting, I was talking to Paul, he was still by my side.
And talking to Paul?
Paul, yeah. And it was still in my spirit. Because when I look at the Word of God and I look at the importance of the Great Commission,
yes,
it says, it's without a doubt that it occupies a central place. It has a central place in the church.
Yes.
You know, so I was talking to Paul, I said, we have different arms, you know, the different arms in the church. We have the youth, we have the children, we have, you know, the elders and all that, you know. But I just said, I see that something, I might be wrong, but I see something is, why is it that we don't have evangelism arm, you know, and somebody coordinating it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Yes.
Somebody kind of taking responsibility to coordinate it, to give it a coordinated effort.
Yes.
It was my thought.
Yes.
And Paul was saying, we do a lot of evangelism in the church. We have, you know, food bank, and I can speak to Adam. Adam has some evangelistic, you know, views, you know. So I while you were talking, it came to my spirit again. I said, it's good for us to sit like this and, you know, to receive this teaching, you know. But I think, if you ask me, honestly speaking, I think we need someone who can coordinate this evangelism, you know, in the church,
yes,
who can report to the pastor or to the elder.
Yeah.
But we need a coordinated effort. We need, you know, talking about steering people up. What you've said has steered up. It would not end here, like you said. We don't want it to end here.
Yeah.
We want it to somebody to take that responsibility and, you know,
yeah.
get people, steer people and channel the efforts, you know,
yeah.
towards
yeah.
doing something.
Yeah.
That's what I...
And that's the doing bit.
Yeah, that's the doing
bit. Isn't it?
That's the doing
bit. Yes.
We can only hear what Bonnie's saying, can't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Bonnie.
It's crucial to
tag that. Not to tag it on the end, it's not an extra.
On apologetics. So, I mean, it's always... I grew up in a Christian family, but largely actually.
Have a cup of tea and your biscuits and hospitality downstairs.
Up until since I've been again 3 years ago, just over 2 years ago now, 2015. But since then, since coming to Christ, not only did I realise, obviously, when God opened up my heart, He poured His Holy Spirit in, I realised actually. Beforehand, well, I did hear the gospel. You know, Jesus came, Son of God,
yeah.
came to save people from their sins, took that upon Him, all the conversion. So all of the gospel, you know, the necessary parts.
Yeah, were was given.
But
yeah.
then the thing I realised actually, hang on a second, really though, for now looking back, so you know, most of my family, so all of us went to church, got uncles and stuff, elders and churches and things. But actually, really. If you look at our family, on a, just every time we gather, you wouldn't know we're Christian.
You wouldn't?
No, not at all. So and so now I've had loads of conversation with my cousins, discussions. So they're hardcore, some of them hardcore atheists and things. But because they have no grounding at all, so obviously they haven't been taught a single thing by their parents.
See downstairs.
One of the things that actually I've realised is necessary, because not only just with non-Christians, but even now I even meet with Christians in different churches and loads, I realise actually, hang on a second, that thing you're saying there, that's completely off. But I can see it's from having a faulty knowledge of this.
Yeah.
And this person here that I'm working with who hates this other person, this manager that's treating them like dirt, but then they're treating them like dirt as well. So this is that whole thing of the curse. So I think, do you think apologetics in terms of kind of being able to, because obviously we're called to be light, a city on a hill.
Yeah.
Is that where you would you'd see a large part of the evangelistic?
Yeah. And even leading to a stream on that. You know, I think sometimes that what Bonnie was saying is Bonnie sits with the leaders and he meets the. I don't really know all that. I know, obviously Paul. I know a couple of the elders. I know Damien really well. I know Adam less, and I meet up with Damien quite a bit. So he kind of knows my heart. But you know, I personally believe in it, but I want to be humble in it as well.
Yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
a leader here. I'm not a pastor here. I'm an ordained minister, but I've not got the length of time that Damien has had overseeing a fellowship. I've overseen two very small fellowships that were kind of in trouble, you know, and come from larger to quite small. But I think an apologetics session where it's unpacked and explained, you know, and like that whole light and dark thing, you know, we come out of, we were in a dark place, we're now in a light place. How do we stay there? How do we keep projecting? How do we keep being light?
Yeah, yeah.
Being light in the workplace, being light in a school, for someone even to probably talk into people's professions, you know. Because at the end of the day, we can all, I think there's this temptation sometimes that my mum used to say to me, once saved, always saved. That's a debate, isn't it?
Okay.
Some people debate that.
Yeah.
And I always used to say to my mum, I believe I'm soundly saved, according to what the scripture says. But I'm to still live it out.
Yeah.
I'm to still be light. I'm to still understand that truth. I'm still want to get even more excited about who Jesus is.
Yeah.
As I journey, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I had the privilege of helping to do a funeral.
Pick up my kids.
Yeah, bless you. Of doing a funeral for a man who got to 100.
Yeah.
He said, I want to get to 100 and get my letter off the Queen, and then he died about 2 weeks later. And he was more passionate at 100 than he was at any other time in his life. And he could hardly move from his home. But loads of people used to go and sit with him and he'd feed them. And you could see the passion that he had for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And sometimes he'd have a little gripe like we do, you know, well, I used to walk to church with 60 kids all with our Bibles in their hands. I don't see that anymore, you know. And And he was just being real about the times, you know, when people ran to church. You know what I mean? And, but thanks for your, you know where we...
In Market Harbour as well, speaking to, I still sometimes go up to, I used to go to the Loughborough Ealing,
yeah.
And in the park.